There are times when going old school is perfectly acceptable. I love a good charcoal barbecue or listening to jazz on vinyl. But when it comes to business continuity management, the old tools just don't cut it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 48 as the Resilience Think Tank presents the Resilient Journey podcast. This week, I'm joined by Marie-Elaine Primo, Executive Vice President at Premier Continuum, and Sinad Sahajic, Director of Business Continuity and Corporate Security at OMERS. And this week, we're talking about business continuity software. Listen as Marie and Sinad share two perspectives of software, one as the service provider and the other as the customer. We discuss the advantages of using software to manage your program, must-have features of the software, and ways to justify the expense to senior leaders. We'll get into it after we hear this from Lisa.
Hi, I'm Lisa Jones, co-founder of the Resilience Think Tank. We're committed to ensuring diverse voices are included in making communities and organizations more resilient. We are spotlighting the next generation of resilience professionals. We will share videos, blog posts, and conduct interviews with rising stars in our profession. Also, we will discuss this topic at DRJ Fall 2022 and on the Resilient Journey podcast. Want to be part of the conversation? Tag us on LinkedIn or Twitter with the hashtag Resilience Think Tank. You can also contact us at resiliencethinktank.com.
Marie, Sinad, welcome to the podcast. Happy to have you here. Marie, let's start with you. Tell us about your background and talk a little bit about Premier Continuum and your role there.
Well, hi, Mark. It was really a pleasure to be here at the show. So I'm actually a chartered accountant. That's how I started my career. But I decided to do business continuity already 20 years ago. So I've been advising an organization on implementing and maintaining business continuity programs ever since. I'm also one of the owners of Premier Continuum, a firm that specializes in business continuity. And at Premier Continuum, we have three lines of business. We have hands-on consulting, certified training. We're training partners of the Business Continuity Institute, as well as iCore. And we have developed Parasolution, an award-winning, world-class, web-based solution that provides complete business continuity management and can be adapted to any organization.
I like what you said there, and I could hear I'm watching you on camera too, and I could see your face when you talked about the award-winning, world-class solution. And when it comes to, you know, winning those awards, I know you've won awards from the BCI, and you talked about some other ones. So talk about the awards and what it means to the organization, just from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah, well, we're very proud and honored by the recognition we are receiving from our peers and from our clients. Over the years, we've won BCI America's awards for innovation of the year for our workflow, as well as our import capabilities that we have within Parasolution. And we've also won last year in 2021, the provider of the year from the BCI. We were also named champion of the emotional footprint awards by Software Review in 2021 and 2022. And this is for the best customer experience from pre-sales to ongoing relations, all based on customer reviews. And really this data helps any client understand how they can trust us and to rely on vendor to support throughout the entire relationship. We also ranked top of their data quadrant in terms of software capabilities and features for business continuity management solutions. And moreover, we were named leader in Gartner's Magic Quadrant in their most recent version for business continuity solutions.
You're overachieving now, Maria. That's enough. Well done. And it's exciting for you to have that success. And Sinad, I don't know if you know this or not, but you're actually the inspiration for the podcast. It goes back to when you and I first met. I was interviewing you for a client a position that you now have. And our conversation, I think, was supposed to go 30 minutes. We ended up talking for, I don't know, an hour and a half or something. And I found it to be really interesting. And I thought, I wonder if people would find conversations with peers like this to be interesting or not. And so it sort of planted the seed of doing the podcast. So thanks for that. And I know you're a customer of Parasolutions and you have been for several years. So tell us about your background and when you're through with that, why you prefer using business continuity software instead of sort of the more manual Excel spreadsheet and Word documents.
personally. First off, Mark, I do remember that interview. And I remember we kept talking all the way to the elevator down, actually. So I do remember that conversation.
It's exactly right.
Also, I do want to take the opportunity, because we've been talking about awards. Congratulations on your second BCI Consultant of the Year for Continuity and Resilience. You never mentioned it on your podcast, so I thought I'd mention it for you. So congratulations on that.
This is very much appreciated. So thank you for saying that.
And it, as I said, it's well deserved. Again, just to share, I not only did Mark sort of head up the hiring committee for my present position, we stayed and worked together for a further 6 months. So I've had the pleasure of actually working with Mark. So, you know, I've been in the business continuity operational risk field for exactly 23 years. I got started as part of an IBM Y2K remediation team. So it sort of dates me. And I think like a lot, many in the field, once I started getting into disaster planning, crisis management, I sort of was hooked. Since then, I've headed up business continuity programs in mid to large organizations. Currently, I'm the director for business continuity and corporate security for OMERS. It's a large Canadian pension plan. And yeah, it's true. I've been a customer of Pear Solutions for approximately 8 years across two organizations. I utilized actually Pear Solution when I stood up a program, really a net new program at a previous client. And, you know, one thing I just sort of want to, I guess, preface before I say what I do like about using, you know, business continuity software versus the traditional Excel, Word, SharePoint kind of world is, you know, I think it's important to always emphasize one size does not fit all, right? So I think if we're talking to maybe a smaller size organization, it may not be as appropriate. But I think certainly when we're talking about a mid to large size, I have to say the biggest piece that I think is beneficial is the amount of leverage it gives you in terms of spending time on what's really important. And yes, administrative tasks are important, but you know, deeper dive analysis on the true resiliency of an organization is important. Absolutely important is empowering the business continuity champions and leads so that they actually, you know, if they don't look forward to updating their plans and looking at the BIAs, at least they don't dread it and you make it as easy as possible. And I think finally for me, a big piece is the capability of time of crisis, which I'll speak to further on. But I think, it empowers a response that is concentrating on the actual response rather than do they get the right binder and is it out of date or is it the updated binder?
So the accessibility of the plan itself at time of disruption is a huge benefit on that as well.
It really is. You know, one of the things that I found, especially over the last 5-6 years, is that, you know, if you're speaking to, let's say, your crisis management team, which is, you know, generally, let's, you know, be honest, senior level people, they don't want to be fumbling with, again, maintaining paper plans. They've already started to have moved deeply into a digital world. So they're looking for that digital solution. And this really empowers it, especially, you know, if you pick a provider that has a robust mobile app as well. I think that's a crucial piece as well when it comes to that response capability. But again, it goes deeper than that. As I said, for the empowering of your partners, which are your business continuity champions or leads, again, making this as painless as possible and, you know, making all the data and the plans and information that you have transparent and accessible to them, again, just will improve your resilience and your continuity capability.
So Marie, in your research, what are you finding related to numbers? What percentage of organizations are you seeing that are using software? And is there a particular industry or maybe a particular type of business that's more or less likely to use software?
Well, according to Gartner, we should reach a wider usage of BCM solutions over the next few years, like moving what they call the slope of enlightenment to the plateau of productivity. With the pressure from the executives to have real-time information available at time of crisis, being able to leverage all that, you know, very interesting information that we're gathering through the business continuity program, as well as in terms of operational resilience, as well as, you know, lesser tolerance to interruption and wider adoption of technologies. Like Sanad said, people are more used and expecting to have something more sophisticated than Word and Excel and not to have to wait around and, you know, let me crunch the numbers and I'll get back to you in 2 days. There's really a greater uptake. I don't necessarily have numbers per se, but it's typically, you know, traditionally our software Pear Solution has been around for 20 years, has obviously evolved ever since, but was mainly an uptake from the financial industry as well as governments were the, you know, earlier adopters due to the quantity of information that they have to manage as well as their regulatory requirements. But we're seeing more and more interest in the service and manufacturing industries. They're realizing that they also need to have a solution in place. And regarding the size of the organization, as Sinan mentioned, when you have larger organization, there's, you know, more complexity. But on the other hand, from a smaller organizations, they're getting requests from their clients to have programs in place. And they may also want to leverage technology to the multiple hats that they be wearing. They don't have lots of people that can do number crunching and administrative duties. So I think that when you have a solution that not only is there to help you document, but also to respond at time of crisis, having notification capabilities, the mobile app, like Sinan mentioned, well, there's definitely more interest from smaller organizations as well.
And one benefit for a smaller organization would be, I'm working with a client right now who has a gentleman responsible for business continuity, but it's not his only job. Right. It sits on the corner of his desk. He's also responsible for risk, and he's relatively new to the industry. So having a tool like yours can really help provide some parameters and some guidelines about what are some of the right things they should be doing, right?
Yeah, and that's actually something, you know, in terms of the misconceptions that people think, you know, sometimes they think that if they do go with a software, that they do need to take the supplier's methodology. So that's good because it does provide you some guidance as to what's expected and the steps to follow. But on the other hand, some consultants or some people in the industry may be doing things differently. So I think it's important that the tool is there to assist you in following best practices, but also take in consideration your reality, so that people are not just spending too much time doing training and, you know, administrating rather than providing some value add. So, you know, then that was something that from the onset when we first started Parasolution, that was really important, that we understand that things may be different within your organization, and embedding business continuity is already a challenge. So we ensure that people are presented with an interface that makes sense, easy to use, and avoids any double data entry. And, you know, I was talking about the awards that we got. So we're really keen in getting data from your golden source, such as your HR, IT information, so that people don't need to capture. And obviously, to be able to share among within the software any information that you have, so that what you're doing in your BIA goes into the BCP and what goes into and then related to your IT disaster recovery plan. So that all of that talks to one another. And one thing that we've actually done with COVID is that we've developed connectivity with Power BI and other corporate dashboards. So people don't even need to go into the software. They can actually go on those dashboards and provide visibility to top management if need be.
So Maureen, let's talk about dashboards. You mentioned them there. We know that there is a trend towards being more graphical with our data and to be able to show it in more analytical and meaningful ways. Can you talk a little bit about the dashboards, and are you using them for program governance purposes? Or are you actually using them as part of your business continuity planning?
Well, I'd say that we're using them for both purposes. So for program governance as well as planning. So understanding where the vulnerabilities are, understanding as well if there are any gaps between the needs and the actual capabilities that we have. If there are as well any element from a governance, if any things are out of date and elements like this, but even at time of response, understanding the tasks that need to be performed and the where do we stand in terms of accomplishing those tasks. There's definitely a higher interest on dashboards. So that's a capability that we've further developed within the tool, because this is something that people are more looking for now that people do have quality information available.
So now let's talk about a little bit more about the scope of traditional business continuity software. What would you identify as things that are must-haves for you? What should people be looking for? Is it just BIA data collection and plan development? Or, you know, talk a little bit about the program governance aspect of it. What should people expect out of a good software product?
I think, first of all, it definitely needs to be comprehensive of that entire kind of BCM lifecycle or that business continuity lifecycle. So it absolutely, as a basis, for sure should enable the development BIAs and business continuity plans. I think what you definitely want to look for is a product that's integrated between the two. So, for example, when you are, you know, working with your partners on updating BIAs or conducting a session, that data that you identify and confirm is automatically translated into a business continuity plan, into the appropriate sections. I think, as I mentioned earlier, mobility to enable that response capacity is important. Integration of all the plans is really important. One of the features that I unfortunately had to, or fortunately, I guess, had to use recently during the Rogers outage, for example, was I was able to view the response of all of the impacted business continuity plans for the departments, because it gives you that central ability to track, okay, where are they in their response? You know, have they completed the required tasks? And again, that enables that, you know, quick and accurate information flow to your, you know, to your crisis management team. Ideally, I would say definitely look for a system that is flexible, customizable to at least a certain point, and certainly able to link with other systems. So, you know, I think it's important that you integrate, for example, with your HR system to make sure that your contact data is it now becomes, you know, not something you have to worry about. It gets updated, you know, whatever the frequency you decide. Making that connection in with, if there's an IT architecture platform within your organization, so that, again, you're speaking from the same songbook when you're dealing, you know, in a BIA, or you're looking at resiliency when it comes to critical systems. I think those are must-haves for me. And again, the dashboarding, I know we touched on it, but the reality is, you know, when you're doing your, and I like to call it now, that elevator pitch, but in the boardroom or to a reporting committee, they want to see trends. You know, I always like to say it's sort of like presenting back in elementary school. They like colors and easy to digest information because they're having to digest so much. So being able to, you know, get those key risk indicators translated to dashboards that are meaningful, I think is really important.
Yeah. And, you know, for so long, we always used to do BIAs and then the reporting was just so statistical. Oh, we met with 25 groups and we identified 230 business functions and this percentage is critical. And okay, that's fine, but it doesn't really add much value, does it? I mean, that's what we're really after, is not just reporting for reporting's sake, but adding and being able to demonstrate value.
The term I like to use, and I've stolen it like all good business continuity professionals, is meaningful key performance indicators or key risk indicators. And as you said, it's not about the number of BIAs we've validated. It's more about what's our resilience level in terms of, you know, for these key units to loss of sight or loss of IT systems. That's ultimately what you should be measuring, and also gives you an action plan going forward if you identify gaps.
And that's exactly right, because again, that's meaningful information. You can look at the data, understand the gaps, and then you can build that action plan. And one of the things you said that I really liked was the integration. And you referenced it as far as integrating plan to plan across the organization, but talk a little bit about the integration of data collected in the BIA and how that automatically gets integrated into the plan.
Well, it actually, there's two pieces of that. One is, you know, as soon as you have completed BIA, you've entered, you know, the data and you've confirmed it, it gets fed into the appropriate sections of the business continuity plan, the corresponding one. But there's also the connection in terms of, you know, one of the biggest things that, you know, as a business continuity professional, you want to understand all of the dependencies that exist out there, especially, you know, in an increasingly, you know, outsourced, you know, third-party vendor world. It's important to understand these dependencies. Well, again, with the right software, you're able to make sure that, for example, if I'm finance and I've identified a dependency on IT, it automatically appears in the IT BIA, and they have the opportunity to validate it or challenge it and give the reason why they are. So you're not having those false dependencies or those breakdowns where the dependency leads into a brick wall. And I think that's a really important kind of integration to look for.
One of the things that has always been a goal of mine, and I've not worked that much with business continuity software, so I'm trying to do this through the old-fashioned method, is to really understand the integration of impacted areas. So for example, and you can think about it even in a cyber situation. So system X gets attacked and it's locked. I want to know right now what that impact is. I want to know not only what departments use system X, but ideally what functions use system X, what their maximum downtime allowance would be, and the associated impact. And that's difficult to do when you're working across an enterprise with multiple spreadsheets and trying to compile that data. That's got to be a huge advantage for using software.
Of course. I mean, this is something that you can obtain by just a click in the system to understand what would be the ripple effect of that system not being available. One other thing that we do emphasize in gathering is also what are the interim measures that those business units or functions intend to put forward so that we can also work that through and ensure that appropriate contingency plans are developed as well. So there's definitely a benefit to be able to do that. You know, we also talked about operational resilience, understanding what the dependencies are, that we're not just doing business continuity for regulatory purposes, but also for the true meaning of business continuity enabled. So having a software will enable you to do that, understanding which services or product will be impacted by the actual malfunction of a system or of a business function or an availability of a location. We do encourage planning based on consequences so that, like when COVID hit, well, people actually, instead of pulling the loss of people or, you know, unavailability of people, they actually pull the unavailability of premises really as being their key element to prepare for. So I think it also gives you that flexibility to be able to respond appropriately.
And then, Sanad, you had mentioned earlier having it available on mobile, too. I would say that would have to be right up there on the requirements list, that it's not only going to be, I don't know whether it's cloud-based or locally installed, but, you know, available not only at the desktop, but also on the mobile. That's got to be a huge value.
Absolutely. And again, I'll use a recent example of that. You know, with Parasolution, the mobile app, you've got the ability to have a local copy that syncs with the copy in the cloud whenever you access it. So, you know, for our crisis management team members, some of them wouldn't have had access to their plan otherwise, but because it was locally installed, because of the syncing functionality, they were able to access an up-to-date usable plan. And I think the usable part is huge. And again, that's, you know, it's business continuity 101. If the mobile app is, you know, it's readable, it's easy to navigate, again, it's more likely that those that have the plan will use it.
Would you say, Sanad, that your plans have gotten shorter over recent years?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the use of graphics is something that I've really embraced. I've always been a big believer that, you know, at the beginning of the year, you should always be looking to see where your plans can lose some weight, if you will, in terms of extra verbiage. And I think that the software enables that, again, because, you know, you're able to have dropdowns. Again, the use of graphics is great. So yeah, definitely. I think that's, you know, it's only natural that if someone has a plan that's 20 pages versus 80 pages, again, not only will they be more likely to use it, they'll be able more likely to use it effectively.
And, you know, maybe to add to that, yeah, the fact that you're using a software, well, you can have a copy that's relevant for the business function or for the crisis management team. You don't need to have a very big document that encompasses everything that people don't really know where to go to update information. So you can have smaller plans for specific usage or specific individuals. So it does provide you that flexibility as well, gathering what's relevant for the crisis management team versus what's relevant for business continuity. But you can have an overall plan as well that's generated by the system.
So it becomes fit for purpose is really what it is. It's not just a document. And what you have to watch for from consultants, and I'm speaking, you know, as one, is that we use the plan that we use for customer A and we use it for customer B and then, you know, down the road. And it's nice to be able to change that up to meet the needs of the specific customer. I just have sort of one more follow-up question, and I'll ask it to both of you. Sanad, I'll start with you, though. When it comes to justifying the cost of software to management, what was your approach, and what were some of the points you used to help sell the concept to your leaders?
I took a sort of a two-pronged approach. I think obviously you do need to do a cost benefit analysis, but one of the other things I leveraged was I took the time to understand what frustrations there were with the program. And then when I understood those, demonstrated, okay, well, these are the benefits from us taking on this platform, this business continuity software, that will address these pain points in the program. And that goes across, you know, accessibility, productivity, the meaningful KRIs. Again, I think that's always, a point of pain with senior management for them to truly be able to understand what business continuity metrics mean. And the final one was sharing how this platform can be leveraged by multiple teams. So for example, right from the get-go, I said, yes, we're going to bring this on for business continuity purposes, but we'll be able to leverage for IT disaster recovery, for the operational risk group, for cybersecurity response, for crisis management plans, for physical security, even health and safety. And I included a roadmap, which we followed since then. So demonstrating that, this tool isn't just going to be, business continuity's little kind of toy. It's something that's going to be leveraged across the organization, which really ties into, what organizational resilience is rather than just business continuity.
And Maria, I would assume using tools like this can help reduce the amount of disruption, which is also a cost factor too, right?
Of course. By better understanding what your vulnerabilities are, you can actually better invest. And sometimes you even may realize that you're over-investing in some areas. So that can also be a benefit so that you allocate the resources accordingly. Like if people could, should you be maintaining a secondary work location, or let's say if you need to be high availability for your IT solutions. So definitely that.
All right. I'll get you both out of here on this. Maria, I want to start with you. So someone's listening and they're like, wow, I'd like to learn more about business continuity software in general, or specifically Paris Solutions. What's the best way for them to reach you?
Well, the best way is to contact us via our website, and we will definitely follow up with them. You can also look out for me on LinkedIn, and I will direct them to the appropriate individuals so we can have a chat as well.
Yeah. And Sanad, same question to you. How can people connect with you? Because I know you're always interested in building relationships. I know you both speak at conferences, but Sanad, what's the best way for people to reach you?
The best way would be through LinkedIn for sure. I also do some teaching with BCI. So if you're ever a student, that I always share my contact information as well. But definitely through LinkedIn would be the best way.
Thanks for taking us inside the tent to understand a little bit more about business continuity software. I appreciate both of you. Thanks for doing this. And thanks for being a guest on the podcast.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for the opportunity.
I want to thank Marie and Sanad for joining me today to talk about business continuity software. There's a number of good tools out there, but if you'd like to speak further with Marie about Paris Solutions, you can learn more at premiercontinuum.com. Thanks as always to the Resilience Think Tank for sponsoring the Resilient Journey podcast. Stay in touch with the Think Tank at resiliencethinktank.com. We continue our conversation about software next week, focusing on crisis management software, when I'm joined by Christopher Britton from Rockdove Solutions. So join us, won't you, as we continue our resilient journey.